Your Story, a podcast where returned missionaries of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints recount their mission stories. I'm Sabrina Chirazzo.
And I'm Rebecca DeVonis, and we're here with our good friend, Levi Tuaitano, who is the first interviewee on this podcast. How do you feel about being the first episode, Levi?
It feels pretty good, yeah. First, and hopefully not the last one who's going to be on here. So let's hope this one's a success.
It will be a smashing success, I'm sure of that. We're so excited to hear your story today. So where did you serve and when?
I served in the Great Australia Perth Mission from 2015 to 2017.
Can you tell us what the weather was like and kind of give us some background on your location when the story takes place?
Yeah, for sure. So Perth, Australia is on the western state of Australia. My area, at this time, I was serving in Nerajan, which is 2 hours inland from Perth. When you're closer to the water, of course, it's all green, but, you know, as you move closer to the inland, it turns to dirt. A lot of farmland. February is when the story takes place, in the month of February, so that's like smack in the middle of their summer, and so it's blazing hot. I remember you could see the heat. And I mean, you could see the heat if you weren't being blinded by the brightness of the sun. But yeah, so February, blazing hot, and super bright, and a lot of dirt.
How far were you into your mission at this point?
So I was exactly a year at this point. I had previously served a full year in the Como ward, and that was good fun. Then I was transferred into their Nerajan area right around my year mark.
You had already been on your mission for a year, and you had served in one area for years.
Ooh, two areas, one ward. Yeah,
one ward,
two areas
for an entire year. That's a long time.
It was such a long time that members of the ward thought I was a member of the ward. Like, I had so many people come up and they're like, "Does your mission president even know you're still here? Did he lose you? Like, you?" I had people ask me, I had members go come up as like, "Did you find a house yet? Like, are you going to marry someone from this ward?" I'm like, why are we talking about this? And so I remember I was there for so long that they put a goodbye message from me in their Sunday pamphlet. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is too great.
I feel like it's a sign of success that you were so integrated into the ward that they felt like you were family, you know? Mm-hmm. They just thought you were part of the ward. I think that's really awesome. Now you're in a new area when the story is about to take place. Who was your companion and what was he like?
So Elder Paialii was my companion at the time. He was straight from Samoa, and he was, there's no other word that I can think of than gem. He was an absolute gem. It was a privilege working with him. I was assigned to be his trainer, but man, was he more of my trainer than I was his. And it was a wonderful experience to work with him. He didn't speak English all too well. And that was a hard thing for us because, like, I don't speak Samoan fluently and I know very little. But even with what I know, our mission president told me, like, you have to straight speak English. That was a hard part, but he just had his testimony. He knew exactly why he was there.
He does sound like a gem. That's awesome.
Right? I can't think of any other word than gem.
That's marvelous. Okay, cool. So it sounds like you two had a really great dynamic where you both are learning from each other and just growing together. So I'm excited to hear how that kind of plays into this story. So could you tell us what your story is called and then tell it for us?
So this is a story. I just call it Ma because it's about an investigator who turns into a mother to Elder Paialii and I and, you know, the companions after. So Ma is very special to my heart. Here's why. So when we first got there, there was a funeral of a member in the ward who had recently passed. And her spouse came up to us missionaries, and said, "I got a friend. And I've known her for a long time. She lives around the corner from me. And, you know, I need you to go and talk to her." I'm like, "Okay, what about?" And he goes, her husband passed away about 3 months ago, and she needs to hear the plan of salvation because she's not dealing with it. She's not coping with it. I'm like, okay, well, we can totally, you know, take a look and see what we can help her with. And you sound like a doctor.
Spiritual doctor.
Yeah. And so we go throughout the funeral, and we're trying to find this individual, and we're looking around, and he points her out to us, but we were talking to someone else. And so we quickly ended that conversation. We turn around to go and talk to her, but she was gone. And so we couldn't really get a hold of her, but luckily we got her phone number and we were trying to get in contact. And so finally, one day we were walking from Brother Cowley's house, the individual who gave us her name. We were walking around the corner and we saw her. Like, oh, that's right, she does live by him. So we saw her, we're talking to her, and we set an appointment to come back the next day. We exchanged pleasantries and says, we'll see you tomorrow, and we leave. The next day comes around and we message her, didn't get nothing back, and it was like that for like a good 3 days. Like, she went and answered the door, and I don't know if she still works there, but at that time she worked for a company to do hazardous cleaning. So a house that was completely, I guess you could say, condemned due to dirtiness, she would go in like a full hazmat suit and clean it up and get it all going. And I guess at one point she got something in her eye and caused a massive infection in her eye and in her face. And so that's part of the reason why she didn't, you know, text us back or answer the door, because she was too busy trying to recuperate. And so finally we went with Brother Cowley over to the house and just knocked on the door, and we said, let's talk, let's see what's going on. And so she let us in, and we were asking her all about, you know, what was going on with her eye and her face, and she let us know. And so what we did is we talked about the restoration, you know, just brief talk about the restoration and about a priesthood blessing and how that could help her. Then after we talked about the authority of the priesthood, we offered to give her a blessing, and she agreed, which was actually surprising. So we gave her a blessing, and Elder Paiali, if I remember correctly, is the one who blessed her. And you know, we closed the blessing and we sat down, and like almost immediately she like gave out a shriek of of joy that, you know, she felt the blessing work. She felt the irritation of her eye just like disappear. The swelling of her face was going down. Not only did she feel it, but we were watching it happen. And it was just an incredible moment to witness. And I mean, she was so happy with it that we were like, hey, so baptism. She goes, let's wait. So we set an appointment for the following week, and we talked about the plan of salvation, the one thing that we knew she would, you know, really relate to. And as soon as we got to like the eternal family and how families could be together forever, she just glowed, smiling from ear to ear, and just was so happy, so exciting. And it was like, okay, let's go, let's get back to us, let's go. So we set up, you know, following appointments, and we worked with her real hard, and she was so happy to experience the cleansing that comes from baptism.
Wow. I want to just backtrack to the title of the story. You titled it Ma, mm-hmm. and that's what you called her. How did she get this nickname from you and from your companion?
We had a zone conference. We saw her one night and says, "Okay, we got a zone conference, so we won't be able to see you tomorrow." She goes, "Okay." And so we get up and we leave early, like super, super early. And we get a text message from her, and she goes, "Where are you guys?" And we're like, "Well, we're on the road. Like, we're headed to the zone conference." She goes, "And you didn't come say goodbye?" And we're like, "Oh my gosh, it's like talking to our mother." Like, you didn't say goodbye to your mom? I'm like, so we actually turned around. She made us turn around to come say goodbye to her. So we turned around, we said goodbye. And from then on, we was like, "Well, congratulations, you're now Ma, like the mother in this area." So that's why we call her Mom. It's because she was very concerned, as a mother would be concerned with her children, about our well-being, our safety, and making sure that we were taken care of at all times.
And you mentioned that legacy, in a way, has continued with all the missionaries that have come to the area.
I think after. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, even in the records, I mean, I wrote her name a few times, but after that, it was Ma.
I love that. It's been documented. Levi, how did this experience strengthen your personal conversion?
There's a lot that goes into a miracle, believe it or not. Yes, God can and does perform miracles without instruments. But this shows how he's wanting his children to be a part of these miracles. Not only to experience the miracle for yourself, but to be an instrument in bringing about the miracle. So it strengthened my testimony knowing that, yeah, Heavenly Father is looking out for us and he always wants what's best for us. And it's all based upon our faith and understanding that he does know who we are. I would say that it strengthened my testimony knowing that I am a child of God. That coupled with this experience has really shown to me that I am a child of God, which is ironic because I used to hate that primary song, but now I love it. But it's just, it goes to show that Heavenly Father looks out for his children. We just have to have the faith to act on the promptings and be worthy to be the instruments in his hands. It was everything to do with the faith that was brought to the table. Not only the faith to be healed, but the faith to not to be healed, right? I mean, that's also key. But the amount of faith that was brought to the table about, you know, hey, we need this. Please help us. and especially Maz. I mean, 30 minutes of discussing about the priesthood and the restoration. And she went from knowing nothing to knowing something, not a lot, but something, and then having enough faith to say yes to a priesthood blessing to gain the health that she needs to move forward. I'm like, that is just an incredible amount of faith. That was like, I mean, that in and of itself is the faith of a mustard seed. I don't know. I just think of President Nelson's talk, this last conference, where he was referencing about how we all have personal mountains. And this was a personal mountain for Ma. And with her faith, the faith of that mustard seed, the faith not, let me rephrase that, the faith like unto a mustard seed, but the faith in her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was able to remove that mountain and push forward. And that is a great testimony builder of her example of just accepting the Lord's will no matter what and moving forward.
That is beautiful. I hear that and I'm inspired to think, okay, whatever mountain I might be facing in this particular moment, that it can be moved. It can be moved completely. Talking about being an instrument in the hands of God, I love how you prefaced it with your companionship and the unity that you had with your companion. Even though you weren't at the same place linguistically, you were able to communicate in other ways and also communicate that with other people, and that you communicated that with Ma. You both were instruments in the hands of God for this miracle to happen.
Yeah, I love that. I appreciate what you shared, Levi, about learning and really solidifying that understanding that you are a child of God and that you are a son of God from this story, and seeing that God really does care about each of his children so much. And that's what I learned and felt from this story as well, that he cared so much about Ma, about your companion, about you. And I just had a thought come that just a few months after Ma had lost her husband, that she got two sons in you missionaries showing up and being there for her and loving her and being willing to really become a part of her family, you know, so much so that you would call her Ma. I think that that is very fitting and special, and shows that Heavenly Father really was aware of both her needs and your needs. And so thank you, Levi, so much for sharing your story with us today.
Yeah.
Now that you've remembered this story about Ma, our final question that we'll be asking every interviewee who comes on the podcast is, how will you continue this story? When you're telling the story, you're going back in time, you're going back to the place, you're kind of reliving it and feeling those feelings again and seeing it in retrospect. A story is meant to be told and then learned from so we can continue it in some aspect. How would you continue this story?
I would think the story has like three components. The first component was the relationship I had with Heavenly Father. I have to continue to have a good relationship with Heavenly Father. Otherwise, I can't really act on His will. I mean, I don't know it. I don't understand it. And when I don't know or understand the Spirit, then I can't really say I have a relationship with Heavenly Father. Once I get that, then I can have the component number two, a better relationship with everyone else. If I did not have a good relationship with other Pai'ali'i, I don't think we could have been qualified to be the instruments in Heavenly Father's hands at that time. Granted, yeah, he will and does perform miracles without us as his instruments. And I'm sure someone else would have been, but we would have missed out on that blessing. And then the third is to have a mustard seed of faith to act and to not to act on whatever Heavenly Father gives me to do. And then live faithfully, just as best as I can, to move the mountains that are in my life.
Very well said. Thank you, Levi, for sharing this awesome story with us today, and also your reflection on what you learned from it. It has been really very special for Rebecca and I to learn about your story and your experiences. So thank you to everyone who listened to this episode today. This has been the Remember Your Story podcast, and we hope you tune in next time.